here. We know that the Holy Spirit has a word for us today. As we tune into His voice, let Him speak to you in a way that will truly transform you. As you allow Him to come deep within your heart, you know that's where He's going to allow changes to happen in your life. As you take in His word and say, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need instruction from You. And that's where we can truly receive from our Lord God and King. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look to You now. And we ask that as Your Holy Spirit's presence fills this entire place, we are ready, or more than ready, to receive from You. And Father, if we are lacking anything in our lives, if there truly is a lack of love, peace, or joy, Father, will You fill us up right now? As we cast all of our anxieties upon You, I just pray that You will fill us up overflowing of Your goodness. Lord, we love You, we praise You, we magnify Your most holy name. It's in Jesus Christ we pray all these things, and everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, I'm continuing the series that I started 2 weeks ago. It's called New Year Resolution Killer. And today, the title of my sermon is Getting Over Your Over Self-Confidence. And I gotta tell you, this is one of the things that can really kill our resolution. And that's when you have the kind of over self-confidence that is mixed in with pride and arrogance. You know, just the other day I was watching an episode of the Brady Bunch with my daughter Abigail. And basically, it's a comedy in the 1970s about this man with three boys who hook up with this woman with three girls, and they join forces in marriage and become one big family. You guys know that show, right? The Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And in this episode, Bobby and Cindy, the youngest of the kids, they come home from school to announce that they have been selected to represent their school in this TV game show, answering trivia questions. And all they gotta do is pass this exam and they're in. And you know, Cindy comes home and she says, oh, I'm gonna do well. I'm gonna start hitting the books. And so she goes up to her bedroom and asks the sister to help her study. While Bobby, he starts goofing off. And he says, oh, come on, I already know all this stuff. The test will be a cinch. That's his exact words. Oh, it's gonna be a cinch, no problem. Well, I think you know who got the position, because Bobby comes home from school and he's making all these excuses. So you know what? I didn't get the position. They made the exam too difficult. How did they expect that anyone can pass this exam? But then the little sister comes home and he finds out that not only she passed the exam, she passed with flying colors. And then, all of a sudden, he's got nothing to say. And, you know, the Bible verse that comes to mind is in Philippians 2, 3 to 4. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as what? Better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And, you know, when it comes to setting goals and making resolutions, we gotta make sure that we are not too overconfident in ourselves so much that we allow pride and arrogance to enter in. Because, you know, sometimes people may think, I'm God's gift to the world. And you know what? The Bible tells us the only gift that God has given to the world is His Son, Jesus Christ. Not us! So we don't ever think like that, because if we do think like that, I gotta tell you, pride and arrogance will start to come in. And it will eat us up alive. And all the goals and achievements that we are trying to attain, I gotta tell you, it'll become empty. Suddenly you realize, man, I'm trying to achieve these things on my own, but I'm getting nowhere. We gotta realize, we gotta put ourselves in a humble position where God wants us to be. So here's a question. When should we realize that we may have a problem with over self-confidence? Well, number one, look at your notes. It says here, when we start to glorify ourselves over our Father God. And I got to tell you, just to glorify ourselves, that's a no-no already. But to glorify yourself over our Father God, oh, that's the biggest no-no you can ever make. And I want to read to you what it says here in Daniel 4, 29 to 34. And we're going to read about Nebuchadnezzar, who basically made this huge mistake. Let me read to you what it says here. You can follow along in your notes. It says here, 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar now. And he says here, as he looked out across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. Look what he says here. By my own mighty power. That means excluding God now. My own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. While these words were still in his mouth, it says here, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. And it says that same hour the judgment was fulfilled and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. Look what it says there. He ate grass like a cow and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagles' feathers and his nails were like birds' claws. I want you to really take note there. It says he ate grass, not as a cow now, like a cow. Can you just imagine he's somewhere in a pasture? He's probably all naked. He's not a cow, but he's still a human being, but he's chewing on grass. Isn't that embarrassing? I mean, that is as low as you probably can get. And it says his nails were like bird's claws. Can you imagine just long, sharp nails? I mean, really, God knew that his heart had become so prideful, God had to do something about it. And I got to tell you, there are times when we can get so full of ourselves, God says, okay, I got to allow something to happen in your life. Got to make you realize, man, you're not all that. Because when we continue to go on that path that allows pride to enter in, suddenly we can become our own gods. And the way it says in verse 34, and it says, after this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, my sanity returned, and I praise and worship the Most High and honor the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting and his kingdom is eternal. It's only when King Nebuchadnezzar comes to his senses and he looks up to heaven, he realizes, man, I made a big mistake here. And he starts to glorify God. Then and only then, his mind is restored. He becomes sane once again. And I got to tell you, I remember I once knew someone who was vice president of this huge corporation. And this is what he told me. He says, Ben, I don't need to know your God, or any God for that matter, because I put all the blood, sweat, and tears in this position I have today. That's what he said. And he said, I will get to the top any way I can. I don't need God to help me get there. I mean, pride has pretty much settled in to his heart. And look what it says here in Psalm 10:4. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Because his mind is set on the ways of the world. There's no room for God. If someone will try to speak God into his life, he'll say, come on now, look at me. I'm successful based upon what I did on my own. That's a dangerous place to be. And I got to tell you, only in recent years, I remember he emailed me. I kind of lost contact with him. But he recently told me. He said he got into a serious accident, you know, while driving the car. And he wrote in his email, he thanked God that he has a wife and 2 children that were there for him to support him through this difficult time. I got to tell you, no matter how much you think you don't need God, there's going to come a time in your life when you realize, man, I got to start looking up before things may get even worse. We got to realize, yes, there is a God in heaven that cares for us. And don't wait till things get so bad. Then and only then will you start looking up. No, start looking up to God now because he loves you. He wants to bring forth his best in your life right now. And you know, for the Christian believer, he may be deceived by the devil in believing that in order to be successful and be blessed by God, you got to sacrifice what's most important to you. that your family and God, they will understand. Because let me give you an example. Many years ago, John and I were involved in this multi-level marketing company. I remember the leader actually told everyone, there's going to come a point, you want to be successful in this company, you got to talk to your family and tell them, you know what, I got to sacrifice my time. You know, I will be at the office doing the paperwork, trying to get new members in, and you know what, if I'm not here, accept it. And he even said, she said, you know what, even when it comes to like going to church, you know, God will understand that he wants you to be successful. So if this means you're not going to be able to go to church and be involved in ministry, it's okay. Well, this is a total wrong attitude. This is something that will only bring forth destruction in your life. I got to tell you that. Because basically what happens is you're going to spend less and less time with your family or less and less time in the things that really have spiritual value. And you know what? Eventually, it becomes no time. No time for church, no time for family, more time in the office, more time at work. And I got to tell you, we can get caught in that. We may think, oh, it's only just a little, only it's okay. Well, sometimes, yeah, we got to make sacrifices, but you know what? Sometimes I see it too often, where a little becomes a lot. And suddenly, work takes priority over everything else. Let me tell you, you don't want to be there. You don't want to get there. So make it a point and say, you know what? I know what things are important to me. I'm going to hold on to these things. I'm not going to walk away. Because the devil is going to be right there saying, oh, come on. It's okay. Just talk to your family. Talk to your pastor or whatever. No. Make it a point. Say, I know what are my priorities. I'm sticking to it. And the question to ask is it okay then to set goals or to make a resolution which involve making more money? And I got to tell you, the answer is yes. You can make goals that, you know, you can say, okay, I want to make more this year. But as long as the focus isn't on yourself. Because, you know, I got to tell you, I've also been involved in multi-level marketing companies where they say, imagine yourself then driving a nice red Porsche. You can get there, but there's going to be a lot of sacrifices. We got to be careful of those type of companies because they're trying to put this thought or this imaginary thought in your head that you can attain all these things. And these are the most important things in life. And you can achieve them, but you got to make sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices are you willing to make? Really, it's just like selling your soul to the devil. That's what it is. And we got to realize, no, I ain't going there. I know what's most important to me, and I'm sticking to it. We got to have that sticky kind of attitude where we know what's most important, and we're not going to drift away from that. Amen? Because look what it says here in Proverbs 10:22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, what? Brings wealth without painful toil for it. And you know what toil means? What's the definition of toil? I looked in the dictionary. It means excessive, strenuous work. Excessive, strenuous work. And we do not want to toil. Because if we toil and we're always unhappy about our work and we're always working overtime, we got to realize we made this our God. And yes, we got to provide for our families. We got to do what is necessary to put food on the table and all that. But do not make this your God. Because you got to realize all that we have and all that we own is from who? It's from God. And if the focus is entirely on yourself with the wrong motive, God will not bless you. You got to have the right heart. You got to have the right motive. And we always should have a humbled heart before the Lord, realizing that He is our only provider who provides for all of our needs. I got to tell you, I remember in 2002, you know, it was the beginning of the year, and John Lee, she sat me down. She says, Ben, we're going to write some goals. I said, some goals? Okay. And, you know, for me, I don't like writing anything down. So she said, let's do it, and let's just pray and believe that as we write these goals, God is gonna answer us. And so I remember I was working as a therapist in a hospital at that time, and I remember every year we would get like 3% increase, but I made it a goal, okay, you know what? I want to make it so that I'll get 5% increase this year. And based upon, you know, job performance and all that, so I'm going to work extra hard. I want a bigger increase. So that was one of my goals concerning money. And so after that, Johnny shared her goal. I said, okay, what's your goal? And she says, well, my goal is that we're going to be debt-free by the end of this year. And I'm thinking, okay, I remember we you know, had a large expense with our wedding and all that. And we were like $25,000 or more in debt at that time. And we were living paycheck to paycheck and we're paying our rent. I said, okay, that's nice. I had a humble, you know, small little goal there. And she says, we're going to be debt-free by the end of this year. And then she goes, you know, Ben, you know, we're going to believe in God for this. Because we just started a business that year. And I remember she said, you know what, just imagine if God can free us up, you know, that we're going to be debt-free, we can put all our hearts into the ministry. And we can focus on, like, helping orphanages and things like that. And I go, okay. And so we prayed and we believed in God. I want to tell you, first of all, did you think I achieved my goal? Did I get my 5% increase? No, I didn't. But did we become debt-free at the end of the year? Yes, we did. And you kind of look at that. How in the world did that happen? Well, we know how it happened. Because our heart was right before God. We had the right heart, right motive, and said, Lord, it's your way. We're not so focused on the money. We're just focused on the very fact that you sent us here for a great purpose, a great reason. And we're going to allow this business to honor and glorify you. And you know, this is like more than 10 years later. And I can see how God answered us. Because I got the time to do this ministry now and go at it with my whole heart and realize this is what God's calling is for me. And we can see that we have more time to help others. We can send more resources to the Philippines and helping the orphanages there. And that's our heart's passion. That's our heart's desire. Not for ourselves, but for Him. And if you've got the right heart, right attitude, right motive, God's going to bless you. I got to tell you, that's what God does. Because when we start going off track, when our focus is not on God or other people, it becomes upon ourselves. That's where we're going to walk into danger. Look what it says in Revelation 3, 15 to 17. This is Jesus talking to the church of Laodicea. And this is what he says. He says, I know all the things that you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. And what Jesus is saying here, in other words, you think you may have all you need when it concerns your physical needs, but the very thing that you may be lacking is the most important thing. It's your spirituality, your relationship with God. And that's where we gotta really sometimes stop and take a look within ourselves. You know, it may seem like we got all that we want and all that we need, but when it concerns your spirituality, are you walking right with God? And you know, you guys know Muhammad Ali, the heavyweight champion of the world in the 1970s. You know, he's known for many things, but he was more properly known for his pride and his arrogance. And you know, it's reported once that when he was asked by a stewardess to fasten his seatbelt in an airplane, you know what Ali replied? He says, oh, Superman don't need no seatbelt. That's how he talks, you know. So, unamused, the stewardess replied, yeah, but Superman don't need no airplane either. Buckle up. And here's the thing, isn't it funny that even though people may say, you know what, we don't need God, they still take advantage of all the things that only God can provide for them. And you know, that's why I hear, a lot of times I hear people say, I don't need God. But they don't realize the very things that they have, that they're provided with, that's who it comes from. It comes from God. And they're taking advantage of all these things, but yet they don't want to acknowledge that they need God, that God is real. And as believers, we realize, yeah, He is our provider. And as your heart is still bent on the very fact that, man, I need God more than ever. You may have all that you want. You may have all that you need. But your heart always should remain humble and say, Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour I need you. And if you have this kind of heart, you know God will not let you down. Amen?
Amen.
God will see to it that you are always well provided for. Well, look at number two here. It says, when it becomes commonplace that what we say doesn't always match up to what we actually do. Right in that blank, do. And I gotta tell you, it's a known fact that people who are overconfident, they tend to need constant validation and approval from others. And often they tend to be overly emotional about their values and their beliefs. And like you gotta understand, a lot of times people who are overconfident, they express things in a way that are loud and forceful. It could be that sometimes, you know, people don't want to listen to them, so they appear overconfident, and they say it in such a loud way, such a forceful kind of way. And we can see this is evident in the case of Peter. Look what he says here in Matthew 26, 31 to 35. He says, on the way, Jesus told him, tonight all of you will desert me. For the scripture says, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Look what Peter says. Peter declared, oh, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. And what does Peter say? No! Even after die with you, I will never ever deny you. And he says here, and all the other disciples bowed the same. And at first, when you read these verses, you really want to believe Peter and all these other disciples that they would really be devoted to Jesus and never fall away. Because we probably said that before. Oh, I'll never deny God. Oh, he's my God forever. And that may be something we may say, but you got to ask yourself, is that really something that is deep within your heart? Knowing if the worst of the worst were to come in your life, would you still say Jesus Christ is your Lord? Because we know this was not the case with Peter and the disciples. Because we know the rooster crowed after Peter denied Jesus three times. And we know that the Bible tells us the disciples, they dispersed when Jesus was arrested. So you ask yourself, so what happened there? Because they said it. They said, I'll never deny God. It was probably the case where they became overconfident in their words. And a lot of times we'll say, you know, things that we may think we really mean it. But you got to ask yourself, is it really so deep in your heart that, you know, when it comes time to act upon it, you will? Because maybe they didn't wholeheartedly mean it. It wasn't deep enough in their hearts. You know, I recently read about this missionary who did missions work in Haiti. And you know, before he left from the United States, he was told by numerous other missionaries how dark and evil this country was. And it was important that he would always be spiritually on guard. They were telling him, make sure you're praying, because, hey, this is one evil country. And he was expecting the worst of the worst when he arrived there. But to his surprise, when he got there, he was greeted by a taxi driver that had the words on his taxi cab, the blood of Jesus. He was thinking, hey, that's not bad. And he was thinking, okay, maybe it's just this one taxi cab driver, you know, that has this on his cab. But as he was going through the city, he noticed that other taxi cabs had these similar phrases, like, Jesus is my king. I belong to Jesus. These were phrases that were written on the cabs. And I was going, wow, that's pretty cool. And at first, the missionary thought, maybe I'm in the wrong country here. But as he went through the city, he also noticed that there were many Christian churches of different denominations, along with many Christian hospitals and mission buildings. He said, hey, what in the world? And then suddenly, he no longer thought of Haiti as an evil country, but he's thinking, hey, this is more like a Christian nation. And he thought to himself, how could the other missionaries get it so wrong about this country? Well, then he met with one of the pastors of the churches in the village, and suddenly everything became clear. The pastor of the church explained that, yes, there has been an increasing number of Christians in the neighborhood. In fact, you meet a lot of Christians, they'll say all the right things. They'll say, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is my Savior. But most of these people have not stopped their brutal beliefs and their rituals. And they didn't see any reason why they had to. Because in fact, when someone gets sick, they will take this person to the witch doctor instead of praying for God's healing. Remember, they're Christians now. And they're still going to a witch doctor. And they know this is wrong. But you know what? They say, if they're forced to choose sides, they choose not to offend the voodoo witch doctors above Christ. In other words, yeah, I can offend, you know, Jesus, but as long as I don't offend the voodoo witch doctor, oh my goodness. And you could say that they were overconfident that God's love and grace was so huge that, you know what? God still loves me. He'll forgive me. And that's a dangerous way of thinking. To think that, oh, my God loves me so much, even though I'm doing great wrong, I'm going to a voodoo witch doctor, oh, God will still love me. He'll forgive me. You know what? This is an abomination to the Lord. And we got to realize we are to give our devotion to God and God alone. And this is something where God will not let you get away with. Because this is something that really breaks the heart of our Father God. And you know, the missionary then realized that Haiti was even darker than he had ever imagined, because they had actually seen the light, but they were covered with darkness. Can you imagine that? And a lot of times we may be overconfident in our faith. So, oh yeah, I believe in God. I'm doing all that is right. But sometimes we don't realize we're going to be doing things that may be grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You better watch that, because that's the last thing you want to do, is grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we got to make sure that we don't become overconfident. We may seem like we're doing all that is right, but sometimes we got to examine our hearts and really make sure that we're living a life that is true, that is right before God. Because look what it says here in Luke 6, 46 to 48. Look what Jesus says here. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" And I want you to understand, Lord is another word for master or owner. Owner now. He says, "Why do you call me that and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was what? Well built." A sure foundation, well built. Are you on solid ground, knowing that you're not going to receive anything that we know is not from God? The only thing that we will receive is things that we know are from heaven. Things that we know that God has blessed us with. And we got to make sure that we don't become overconfident, that we're just walking the walk, but we're realizing that we're taking things as we go along that truly are not of God. You know what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Because it's so easy when we become overconfident. Oh, you know, so for some Christians I know, and I mentioned this before, where they appear to be strong in their faith, but they're still holding to other things. You know, they still may be reading their horoscope. I'm going, man, get away from that. That is not of God. You got to make sure your life is grounded, that you're not going to receive anything that is not from God. Amen? All right. Okay. Number three here. It says, when we have arrogance about who we are according to our social status. And what I mean by social status, it means your title or position. Whether you're a CEO of a company, a waiter in a restaurant, a manager, a pastor, a teacher, a policeman, whatever you are. I want you to understand, it says here, when we have an arrogance about who we are according to our social status, there are times that we may think we're above someone. And that's not good, because when we let our social status make us feel overconfident about ourselves, that's when we're going to start thinking that, hey, you know what? I may be even above God. Yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you, sometimes you read it in the paper where you read about a pastor who basically, he got off on the airplane and now this person is making complaint against this pastor, and you can hear it in the news, and it's written in newspaper articles where basically this pastor had a fight with someone on the plane, and basically the pastor says, "Do you have any idea who I am?" And you know, and suddenly, you know, this pastor who's like really well known, I remember he was a TV evangelist. Suddenly, people, you know, have this idea about, you know, maybe he's not as holy as we thought he was. And we got to realize that that can happen when we have this kind of mentality that we're above people. When we say to others, you have any idea who I am? No, don't say things like that, because we got to realize we're humbled before the Lord. Amen? And just like a Pharisee, you know, they think that they're better than others. And we realize that that's why Jesus called them a hypocrite, right? Look what it says in Luke 18, 9 through 14. It says here, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. He says, like robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast. And he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. And we got to realize, you know, sometimes, you know, you can hear someone say, I'm just glad I'm not you. And, wow, what a degrading thing to say to another person. But I hear people say that, and I go, wow. God knows that you have this in your heart, that you're thinking that you're better than that person. And I got to tell you, if you have that in your heart, get rid of it. Because we got to realize when we're humble before the Lord, that's when God's presence will come forth in your life. Look what it says here in Romans 12, 16. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Wow. And we got to realize, yeah, well, we're not better than anyone. When you think that you are, that's where, you know, this pride will continue to increase in your heart. Because if we constantly allow pride and arrogance to be elevated in our life, there's going to come a point that we need to even place ourselves above God. I want to tell you about this king. He's Louis the 14th, and he was one of France's greatest kings. And he was known as a sun king for the brilliance of his court. And he saw his armies make France one of the most powerful countries of its kind. And you gotta understand, though, he was also not without losses. You know, when he received the news of the crushing defeat by the English at Blenheim, you know what he said? He proclaimed, how could God do this to me after all I've done for him? Have you ever said that to God? After all I've done for you, this is what I get? Wow. You got to realize, we don't go to God like that. He's to be revered. And when we can go to him and say, Lord, all I have is yours. My whole life belongs to you. We never point at God and say, look what you've done after all I've done for you. Because that's letting pride come into the point where, you know, it's just eating you up alive. And we got to come to him with a humble heart and realize, you know, that God is the only one that can bring forth his goodness in your life. We never blame God for anything. If we know that we're in a position in life, we're not so happy, and we're not experiencing the way things ought to be run, you know, we go to God and say, help me, Lord. Help me to make it right. Help me to be on a path that will lead to better things. It's only God that can bring it. You guys heard about the Titanic, you know, when it left Southampton, England to travel to New York City. It was revered as one of the greatest creations by mankind. You know, there was a movie made by the Titanic like several years ago. It was the largest passenger steamship in the world when it set foot on its voyage onto New York City. And you know, 4 days into the voyage, however, it struck an iceberg. You guys heard about that, right? and it sank the following morning, resulting in the deaths of 1,517 people. It was one of the deadliest peacetime maritime disasters in history. And you gotta understand, it was designed by some of the most experienced engineers, and they used some of the most advanced technologies available at that time. Imagine, this is something that a lot of men were so proud of, and it was a great shock that this ship sank, though, despite the extensive safety features. And in fact, prior to its departure, the ship was touted as unsinkable. And we know what happened to the ship. And you know, Proverbs 16:18 reads, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." And you know what the definition of haughty is? Haughty is defined as scornful pride. And you gotta ask yourself, why is the poor person so scornful that this person has all this pride? Who is he scornful against? And usually case, you know, he could be scornful against another person. In a lot of cases, he may be scornful against God. And that's why they have so much pride within themselves. And it's not regular kind of pride. It's the kind of pride that says, you know what? I'm going to get back at that person, or I'm going to get back at God for the very fact that my life is the way it is. That's why I'm going to allow this pride to seek revenge. And that's something where we know if it's so deep within our heart, it's going to destroy us. And you can imagine, it was one of modern man's most arrogant moments, you know, as this Titanic set forth on sail, believing that this was the greatest creation that man had ever made. Yet, 4 days later, it was on the bottom of the sea. And as costly as this tragedy was, it remains a valuable lesson in humility. You know, look what it says here in Galatians 6, 3-5. It says, "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load." And that's something we got to take to heart. When we think we are all that and then some, when we are really nothing, the Bible says, we deceive ourselves. And that's the thing. We don't want to ever get to that point where we're thinking that we're above everyone else. Because the Bible clearly tells us that you deceive yourself. Don't allow yourself to get so high and mighty in your thinking that suddenly, you know, you become God's gift to the world. I want to conclude by reading to you this poem. It was written by this Christian author and speaker. Her name is Beth Moore. And the name of this piece is called "My Name is Pride." I want you to just listen to this piece here. It says here, "My name is pride. I am a cheater." It says, "I cheat you out of your God-given destiny because you demand your own way. I cheat you out of contentment because you deserve better than this. I cheat you of knowledge because you already know it all. I cheat you of healing because you are too full of you to forgive. I cheat you of holiness because you refuse to admit when you are wrong. I cheat you of vision because you'd rather look in the mirror than out a window. I cheat you of genuine friendship because nobody's going to know the real you. I cheat you of love because real romance demands sacrifice. It says, I cheat you of greatness in heaven because you refuse to wash another's feet on earth. I cheat you of God's glory because I convinced you to seek your own. It says here, my name is pride. I am a cheater. You like me because you think I'm always looking out for you. Untrue. I'm looking to make a fool out of you. It says, God has so much for you, I admit, but don't worry. If you stick with me, you'll never know." Wow. And let's make it a point, brothers and sisters. We're not going to allow this cheater called pride to enter into our lives. Do not let it enter into the goals that we make. Because you know what? If we let pride in, we're going to make goals that we probably know we're not going to attain. We've got to let our pride down. Let humility enter in. And as you go to God and say, Lord, help me to make goals that I really know can affect others. Affect others in a way that I know I can make a difference. And if you start there, I got to tell you, you're just going to start making some goals that really have eternal value. Not temporal value, eternal value. And we got to make sure, as our hearts are right before God, you're going to see a lot of these goals being attained. Because you're doing it God's way, amen? You're not focused on yourself anymore. You're focused on the ways of God. Amen? Let's go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's pray. Oh, Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And Father, I ask you now, Lord, if any of us may have come to the point where we allow pride or arrogance to enter into our lives, Father, we're going to make a choice and say, Lord, we're not going to continue on that path. Lord, will you help us to put on the humility of Christ? Let's put on that spirit of humility so that we know that we are not above others. No, that we truly are to live our lives as humble before the Lord. And as we truly make a decision to live a life like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we're going to reflect the image of Jesus. We know people, they're going to see our hearts. They're going to see that we are real. And they're going to want to know about who Jesus Christ is. And I pray, Father, that we will never let pride enter in to the point where it overtakes our mind, overtakes our spirit. Because if we do, we know we're going to allow the enemy to have his way. And I just pray right now, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you're saying, you know, Ben, I realize that I may have let pride and arrogance in, but I'm going to just say no more to this. I want the humility of Christ to settle deep within my heart. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, and you're saying, Father, help me. Help me to be more humble before you. Help me to make goals that it's not so set upon myself, that I know it will be set upon you and other people. If that's truly the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's you. Lord, help me to not be focused on myself anymore. Help me to be focused on things that we know have eternal value. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all the hands that were raised. And I do pray, Father, that you will help us, Lord. That as we go through this year, we're going to allow ourselves to make goals that really have that eternal value. That we're going to not just so be focused upon ourselves, we're going to be focused upon other people, upon you, Father. And I pray, Father, as you fill us up, overflowing of your Holy Spirit's presence, of your goodness, Father, we're going to see miracles take place in our lives. We're going to see the blessings of heaven flow as we truly do it your way. Father, we need your help. And I ask you, Lord, just allow your Holy Spirit's presence to just overflow in our minds and our hearts, that from this day forward, we're going to live a life that is true to you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Now, for some people, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you're saying, Lord, I want you to come into my life, I'm saying yes to you. I want to receive you so that I can truly be welcomed into the family of God. And if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now, you can just raise your hand and say, yes, I want to receive him. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a few minutes here. And if you want to receive him, know that he's going to welcome you into his family as you make this decision to give your heart to him. And if you're ready and you're willing and you're saying yes to Jesus Christ, can you raise your hand right now and say, Lord, I offer my life to you. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Why don't we pray this prayer out loud? Let's pray together as a family. And speak it from your heart because you know God is listening right now. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for a moment. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. Let's give glory unto God.